Let us pray. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts, that as your word is read and proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is taken from St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, can be found in the Pew Bibles, page 62. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were fishing and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, so raise your hands. Who here? Thank you. Wow, that is good. That is good. Who here has gone fishing? Is it still going to be raised? All right. Now, who's done it successfully? Okay, that's still a good amount. I've gone fishing. I've gone fishing a few times, just kind of every now and then. So, right, it's not so much that I'm a fisherman as it is that I'm someone who's happened to have gone fishing. And those times when I have gone fishing, I have found it to be quite enjoyable in a very relaxing sort of way. Mostly because when I go fishing, the way I do it, not much happens. Not much at all. My son Ezra and I have gone a few times, and we've had a good time. But again, more in that relaxing, nothing is really happening sort of way, which is probably on me. I think Ezra can actually cast the line a lot better and farther than I can. And so for a lot of reasons, not much happens. One of which is that I have to confess, and so maybe it's a good thing Ezra is not here this morning. I have to confess that the first time he and I went fishing, we had gone to the store and picked up a couple of very inexpensive fishing poles and some very basic tackle, and we got the bare essentials, and then we went to the lake. And while we were there, I realized that were we to actually catch anything, I had no idea what to do next. Right? I wasn't really sure of how to hold the fish, and certainly no idea how to get the hook out of the fish's mouth. So I found myself, Ezra and I standing there fishing together, I found myself secretly praying that nothing would happen, that we would not catch anything. So again, you don't have to tell Ezra I said that. And we've gone fishing here and there since then. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm usually still very much okay with not catching anything. What I'm getting at here is that if you want fishing advice, you absolutely do not want to be taking fishing advice from me, your pastor and your preacher. There's that saying that there's a fine line between fishing and just standing on the shore with a stick looking foolish. I am well over that line, right? Fishing, it's not just not in my skill set. It's nowhere in any sort of training that I've ever had. Preach a sermon, absolutely. Give fishing advice, it would be an absurd and silly thing for you to take fishing advice from me. But that's precisely what Simon and these other fishermen do here in our passage this morning. We've been going through Luke since Christmas. And between last week's passage and this week's, if you remember last week, Jesus managed to miraculously escape the enraged crowd at his home synagogue. And since then, he's been traveling around. He went back to Capernaum, and he continued to teach. He's cast out and rebuked demons. He's ended up in Simon's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and so he rebuked the fever, and he healed her, and news of this gets out. So everyone in that area who was sick with any sort of disease around there, they show up, and he cures them. Teaching and healing and casting out demons, word is spreading. The news is going viral, and his fame and reputation are growing and growing, even to the point where at one point he tries to get away into a deserted place for a little bit to get some time away, and the crowds, they track him down, and they try to make him stay where he is, stay with them, but he keeps moving on all over the area, teaching and healing and proclaiming his message of the good news. And so now, here he is standing beside the lake that Luke calls Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. You wish Luke had said that, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Jesus is so popular that the crowds, they are pressing in on him, desperate to hear the word of God. So you can kind of imagine the scene, right? The crowds pressing in, Jesus, the crowds are growing, and he's kind of backing up to make more and more room until suddenly he's right there at the water's edge with nowhere left to go. And so having run out of room on land, he looks around and he sees two boats there at the shore. It's morning. And so these professional fishermen, they're cleaning up. They're washing their nets, doing their chores after having fished through the night. Jesus sees their boats and rather presumptuously, if you ask me, gets in one and asks, though it's probably asking in the same way your parents ask you to do chores. He asks Simon, right there, who's finishing up his chores and ready to call it a day, he asks Simon to get in and push the boat out from shore so he can keep teaching the crowds from there. And so that's what they do. And then when he finishes teaching, he says to Simon, this guy that he's met at least briefly in his home and healed his mother-in-law, so there's some sort of acquaintance there. He says, why don't you go a little further out there to the deep water and put your nets down for a catch? To which Simon says, Master, we, the professionals here, we've been working all night, and there was nothing to catch. Right? You can kind of hear it in his voice. You're the preacher, Jesus. We're the fishermen. If you're using this boat for a pulpit, great, it's all you, but for fishing, that's our lane. Right? Nevertheless, Simon eventually he says, fine, if you want me to, here we go. There's this sort of this reluctant obedience going on here, right? But that's when it happens. They catch so many fish that the nets begin to break. So they call over another boat to help out, but the fish keep coming. And so it's not just that the nets are breaking, but now the boats are so full of fish that they're actually beginning to sink. And at this, Simon Peter, he falls down at Jesus' knees and says, go away from me, Lord. No longer just master, now he calls him Lord. For I am a sinful man. To which Jesus responds, nah, you're not that bad. No, that's not what he says, is it? Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Simon sees all of this with the fish from this preacher and healer, and he exclaims, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus looks at him and responds, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be. And here Luke uses a different word here. He uses, he's a little different than Matthew and Mark in their gospel accounts. Matthew and Mark, they say, you will become fishers of men, fishers of people. But Luke uses a different word. From now on, you will be capturing alive, catching alive, rescuing alive people. That's what he says. And so they get to shore and they leave everything, their boats, that crazy super abundance of fish. And so I'm guessing the crowds are happy, right? Because they're there and they're like, yay, free lunch. So they leave them behind. And Simon and James and John, they leave everything and they follow Jesus. Jesus has been going around teaching for some time. He's been healing and casting out demons. He's been proclaiming the word of God, and it's working, right? Crowds of people are hungry for it. They're hearing and receiving and following him. Even as hard as some of Jesus' teachings end up being, right? Think about last week and that Nazareth congregation's response. And we'll get to some other hard teachings of Jesus next week, right? And actually, those are probably harder for us than they were for the crowds back then. But even given all of that, so many are clearly hearing the profoundly good news in what Jesus is saying and doing. Jesus is a success. And now for some reason, it seems that he decides he's going to get some help with this good news gospel ministry he's got going on. Whether he needs it or just wants it, or maybe it's not so much that Jesus needs it as it is that it's the people that need it, and that maybe it's that Simon, James, and John, they need it, or maybe it's all of the above. Whatever it is, now Jesus calls these fishermen to join him, to become his partners in this ministry. The miracle here is not that they caught a lot of fish. If I were fishing, maybe. But here, right? I mean, Jesus being Jesus and all, he certainly had an inside track on where the fish would be and all of that. But you can also pretty easily imagine this part of the scene playing out with any wise and weathered older fisherman, right? Someone with decades more experience than even these professional fishermen. Knowing something about the currents and the weather and the time of year and all of that, knowing there would likely be a large school of fish and out there in this one particular part of the lake at this time of day, we can certainly imagine something like that playing out. Impressive, sure. Miracle? Not necessarily. No, the miracle is that Jesus shows up in the ordinary messiness of a daily chore and changes everything. The miracle is that the transforming word of God is found not just in those moments of impressive teaching and profound preaching and healing and demons being cast out, but also in those more intimate and quieter moment of a few people out in a boat in the middle of the lake, reluctantly going through the motions of one more try. The miracle is that in the midst of the biggest catch of their life and an event that would surely bring Simon renown as the greatest fisherman anyone had ever seen in those parts, the miracle is that Simon sees in this something bigger at work, something that compels him to confess his sinfulness, something that moves him to call from calling Jesus Master to now calling Jesus Lord. The miracle is that these are the people that Jesus looks to join him in his ministry of proclaiming the good news. A few self-confessed, sinful, stinky, tired, and reluctant average fishermen. People who have come face to face with their own limitations. The miracle is that here we see the beginnings, of what we, all of us here this morning, and all our sisters and brothers gathered in churches all over the place this morning, all over the world, Big churches, small churches, rich churches, poor churches, historical landmark churches and house churches, prominent churches and hidden secret churches, everything in between. Here we see the very beginnings of what all of us here are inheritors of. A few tired, stinky people who got back in the boat one more time simply because Jesus said to. And we see that what Jesus called together in that moment, what Jesus begins to form there, it was not a big, good, benevolent organization with charitable givings and well-run programs. But what he forms and what he calls together here is quite simply a group of some people who had heard his teaching and preaching, had heard of his healing, had a little bit of experience with him, and had met him in the ordinariness of life and work and chores, and even a bit of reluctance, and who simply heard his call to follow him, and so they did. Being a good, well-run, benevolent organization with programs, those can be wonderful, good, and helpful tools. But at the end of the day, at the core, it is simply about following Jesus, to join him in his ministry of proclaiming the good news, to join him even with all the limits of our sinfulness and reluctance, our fear and uncertainty. The miracle is not the fish. Family, it's that this is who Jesus wants to partner with. That this is who Jesus calls to join him in casting his nets of grace into the deep of the world. The miracle of Jesus' grace is that the calling and commissioning of those who would become his very partners in the gospel, it comes in the midst of their very reluctance and uncertainty. It comes there in the midst of their finding themselves on that fine line between success and disaster, right? Biggest catch of their life, and their nets are breaking and their boats are sinking. It comes right there in the midst of all the fear and worry and anxiety that can bring. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is not looking for perfection. He's going to take care of that. He's not looking for people who are always full of confidence and competence and courage. He's going to take care of that. At the end of the day, Jesus is just looking for people to hear, for people in the midst of it all, whatever it is, to hear him say, "Do not be afraid. Now come on, we've got work to do." The miracle is that it is precisely people like this, it is precisely people like you that Jesus calls and commissions to follow him wherever he may lead. It may be to push that boat out into the deep one more time. Or it may be to leave the old behind and follow him somewhere new and a little bit uncertain. And we shouldn't let this particular passage cause us to forget this. That yes, here is a picture of Jesus, of his call to all of us. This is a picture of what we could call our common calling, right? To follow Jesus into a new life of discipleship and mission. But within this common calling, we each have unique callings as to how that plays out. Some of us, yes, are called to get up and change careers, maybe even going into what we like to call full-time ministry. Or some of us at various times are called to a particular service in and through the church, perhaps as elders or deacons or serving on or leading committees or ministry teams or leading Bible studies or Sunday school or grief support groups, those sorts of things. And some of us are called to stay right where we are, called to follow Jesus in discipleship and ministry as school teachers, as business owners, as computer programmers, medical professionals, artists, visual artists, musicians, actors, as family members, as retirees, to learn and grow in understanding what it means and looks like to follow Jesus wherever he calls you. Another word for calling is the word vocation. So we're touching on a whole other sermon. But for now, here is not how to hear this passage. That following Jesus in ministry necessarily means giving up or pushing to the margins your day job or night job if you're fishing, and going into full-time professional ministry. That's not how to hear this. What it does mean is that to follow Jesus is to be called into his ministry of reaching people with the good news of Jesus, that more and more people can get caught up in the abundant life that he offers. And sometimes, yes, this may mean dropping everything and following him into something completely new. Other times, though, it may very well be simply hearing him to call you to push off with him into the deeper waters of where you already are, where you have found yourself already called. Sometimes it looks like preaching or sharing a testimony, and sometimes it looks like creating something beautiful for people to see or hear that gives them pause and calls them out of themselves for a moment. Sometimes it looks like leading a Bible study, and sometimes it looks like helping a high school student understand an aspect of this world that God created, whether it's science or history or math or whatever. Sometimes it looks like jumping headlong into ministries and things that are going on in the church, and sometimes it looks like providing for your family and being a good neighbor. We could go on and on, as I said, a whole other sermon. What it looks like for each of us as individuals, God knows. But we can trust him to lead us as we figure it out. And what this looks like for all of us together, family, that's where things get really exciting as we listen to Jesus as he keeps calling us to get back into the boat, to keep pushing off into deeper water, to keep casting our nets one more time. Knowing that he may yet do far more with even our end of a long night weariness and reluctance, doing more with that than we could ever imagine. Because that's what it really means, this thing about being called and sent to fish for people. It means to listen and follow where Jesus leads and to experience the overflow of grace that comes from that. And that's how we catch people for life in Christ. That's how we get caught up in it. That's how we become transformed and how we go into the world as agents of that very grace and transformation. And so just some questions for us here as we wrap up. What deeper waters might God be calling you? Or calling us as a church to push out into. Maybe for something for the first time, or maybe it's a reluctant, all right, fine, one more time. Where might God be calling you or calling us to cast our nets? And what might God be calling you or calling us to maybe leave behind because he's got something better in store? Maybe that's something from the past. Maybe that's even something as seemingly simple as leaving behind anxiety or worry or leaving behind a fear of something new, rocking the boat a little too much. But whatever it is, the good news is that Jesus, family, Jesus does call. Jesus is calling each and every one of us and us together. To follow him in his goodness, in his grace, in his love, and into his abundant life. So where is he calling you? And what sort of fishing advice does he have for you? Let's pray. Lord, for the gift and the grace of calling us to follow you, to be disciples, to be agents of this good news that you have brought. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, open our eyes and our ears that we may hear your voice calling to us, that we may follow you wherever you lead, that we may truly catch ourselves and be agents of catching others in your abundant life. Lord, we thank you that this is indeed your promise to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.